And it says, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside, this is Jesus, and he took him aside and put his fingers in his ear, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to come to your house, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that just tonight, Lord, that we can take something away, God, to help us, Lord, to encourage us, God, in this dark world. God, I pray, Lord, that they'll just be, we'll be receptive, God, and we'll thank you, Lord, for what you don't do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here we have a great miracle that has taken place. This man, he has been brought by his friends. Someone brought him. He was deaf. He had an impediment in his speech, and the Lord touched him and healed him. But that's not even what I want to talk about tonight, and I'll get there in a minute. A few weeks ago, might have been last week, week before last, some of the teachers were in my office. They didn't come see me. My office is where the copier is. And they were talking, and I don't even remember if they were talking to me or not. And one of them was talking about something that happened a couple years ago. She was teaching some second graders, and they were in their social studies class. And they were talking about how religion often shapes our rules and laws. You know, you look at our Constitution, it's a lot of it's based off of Christian values. But they weren't talking about America. And they were talking, and they got to talking about Greek goddesses and gods. And they were talking about how, you know, they have a God of love and they have a God of peace and all these things. And they kept talking about them. Well, a little second grader, about 7 or 8, said, don't our God do all that? I thought, wow, that's pretty cool right there. Don't our God do all that? And I've been thinking about that. You know, I've been thinking about what are some things our God does. So what we're looking at tonight is just the last, the little bit of chapter of verse 37. It says, were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. So I thought, what has God done well? Well, I got to thinking about it. You know, he created all this. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without void. And you know what keeps going on in Genesis chapter 1? You know, they start out by saying that, you know, he said, let there be light. And then it says, God saw that it was good. Wow, that's cool, ain't it? I thought, wow, what great things he has done. God does all that. A lot of these other religions, they don't even have a creator. You know? And on day 2, it talks about that he divided the firmament and all this stuff. And then day 3, it says that he separated the seas from the dry land. It says that he made the trees. He made the flowers. He made the trees that make fruit. He made all the herbs. And it said God saw it, that it was good. Wow. God does all that for you and I. Day 4 comes along, and day 4, something just amazing happens. It says that he made the sun, the moon, and it says, and it just throws this in there, and even the stars. Wow. You know, he put that sun just enough of space away that we don't burn up, we don't freeze. You know, if it was just a little bit closer, we'd freeze, we'd die, the trees wouldn't grow like they needed to, you know, and he spun the earth, and the earth spins at just the right speed so that we have day and night, we have years, you know, I think of all the other planets, You know, all the planets but one spin the same way Earth does. You know, God was just showing off because there's one that spins the other way. And you know, it keeps spinning the other way. They're always the right distance from the sun. They don't run into us. We don't run into them. But he said it was good. You know, the next day, he made the fish and the fowl of the air. You know, I'm at a state, I'm not as old as Skip, but I'm at a state now where my wife and them, they bought me a bird feeder, and this bird feeder is the coolest bird feeder in the world because it's got a camera on it. So you know what? It worked. When I get aggravated, I just click in the bird feeder, and I can watch birds. It's just an amazing thing, you know. And after God made all those things, you know what he said? He said, it was good. You know, day six came along, and he made his greatest creation. He made us. But first, he made those animals. You know, he made the cows and the giraffes and zebras and all the animals. And then he made man. He scooped himself out of dirt. And he said, you know what he said after he made that? He said, it was very good. Wow. You know, he did all that for us. And you know, there's all kind of Bible verses that talk about it. In Ephesians, they say, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath been ordained that we should walk in them. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. I thought about it. You know, some scientists like to say that we came from monkeys because we have the same makeup, but you know what? I have a phone laying here on this bench. It looks a lot like the phone that we used to have in my house, and it's still a phone, but it was made by the same creator. Of course, we don't have some of the same makeups as animals. We're made by the same creator. It also says in Psalm 139, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You know, we know within our mother's womb he knew us. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So I ask you, why is creation good? Because God said so. God saw it, and God said that it was good. Not only is his creation good, you know what? His forgiveness was well thought out. His pardon for us was a well-planned, it's a well-oiled machine. It works, you know. In the beginning, you know, when he started giving the law and all this, we think back to the children, God's children, you know, they're captive by Pharaoh. Pharaoh won't let them go, and the plagues come, and the frogs, and the lice, you know. I bet everybody's going to be itching now because we said lice. And all these things come, but the children of Israel are protected, and they had to put the blood post upon the door so that the firstborn wouldn't die. As we go on into the history of the Bible, we see that they have to bring their firstborn, their best sheep or their best goat to the priest so that they can have their sins covered. And you know, for those who have been coming to Sunday school, I'm sure you've heard it too, is that you know, the priest, those people would get involved, and sometimes they wouldn't do the right thing. If you brought your best sheep, they would try to find a blemish with it. So it was flawed at that point because, you know, I might think the sheep's perfect, but somebody says it's not. But when Jesus came along, you know what? He was perfect. And he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And God realized that. And that was his perfect plan for us. The Bible says that, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus lived perfect. You know, and you know, we talk about how bad things are now. And, you know, it was just as bad then. They had the same things going on. They had the wickedness of men. They had people just running wild and not wanting to follow God. But he says that he knew no sin. And it goes on to say, but this man, Hebrews also says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, you know what he did? The Bible says that he sat down on the right hand of God. So he wasn't worried about it. That salvation stuck. You know, we often get into ourselves and we think, am I really saved? Am I really saved? You know, if you're saved, you're saved. You don't have to doubt God because it says once he was done, he sat down. because it was taken care of. You ain't got to worry about it no more. It's been taken care of. Not only does he forgive our sins, you know what else? He's a perfect God. He forgets about our sin. That's just amazing to me. You know, you think about the perfectness of God, how perfect he is, and yet he can forget our sins. But we don't forget the wrongdoing people does to us. We can remember what someone done to us back on July the 12th of 2008 or for Skip, 1947, whatever it might be. You know, you remember those things. But I'm glad y'all got that. Anyway, but you know, he forgets our sins. Bible says in Isaiah, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Isaiah also says, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind my back. Micah said, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and that will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You know, the sea gets real deep. If you're out in the middle of the ocean, you know, it gets so deep that there's no light there. You know, we can't go down that far because it will kill us, but that's how far God sends our sins. And he also says, and the psalmist says, that he has cast them as far as the east from the west. You know what? That's just a difference that is just infinity. Because, you know, once you start going east, you're going to go east forever, no matter how far you go. It ain't like going north or south. You know, I can start going south. I don't hit Mexico, and I don't end up in the Pacific Ocean. But eventually, I'm going to come back at the top, and I'm going to be up there near Canada. And I'm going to start going north when I start that. But not with, you know, he's cast our sins as far as the east from the west. Never be remembered again. And that's how we know that his salvation is perfect. You know, it was that great will. He also, you know, he also provides for us perfectly. You know, wow, I know. That is a great wow. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He owns everything. It's been said he's created it all, and he'll supply all our needs if we'll just trust in him. I thought about it, and you know, in 1 Kings, and this is a very familiar story, we got the woman, the widow, she's out gathering sticks, and Elijah comes up, and he says, get me some water, feed me, and she says, well, I'm getting these sticks because I just got a little bit of meal left, I just got a little bit of oil left, and me and my son, we don't eat and we don't die. And a lot, right before that, the Bible says that the Lord's prepared this woman. But anyway, Elijah says, yeah, but take care of me first and you shall not want again. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that after she fed him, that he, the son, and the widow ate for many days. I don't know how many days. You know, I like to think, who knows? It might have been months. It might have been years. I don't know. But they ate for many days. All they had was a little bit. You know, when we're at home, my big kick now is some peanuts that you shell from Walmart, and they make a mess, and my wife don't like me to eat them because I just leave a mess. But anyway, you know, I'm trying to make them last because the day I was eating something, I got near the bottom, and I just wanted to make them last. I thought, I don't want to run them out. But, you know, this woman's stuff never ran out. They ate for many days, and the Bible says, I'll tell you what the Bible says. Verse 14 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barren meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of boiled fat fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. There was a drought then. The Bible says that her son Elijah ate for many days. Verse 16 says that the barrel of meal wasted not, nor did the cruse of oil fail, according to the Lord, the word of the Lord which was spake by Elijah. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. James 1:17 says, every gift, I love this, every gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed breaking bread. You know, those birds I feed, I don't have to feed them. The Lord will feed them. You know, I don't have to worry about them, but I like to feed them. You know, the Lord takes care of all his animals. You know, we got these deer around here that some of you guys love to hunt. Jackie's going to be hunting, I'm sure. But, you know, the Lord takes care of them. You know, he takes care of them so much, they just jump out in front of our cars trying to die. I mean, it blows me away. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So we see here, you know, he just supplies over and over and over again. He never gets tired of supplying for us, although, you know, we don't always do what we do or should do, but he does. You know, I also see that his protection is perfect. Wow, yeah, his protection is perfect. You know, he protected Noah and his family from the flood. You know, he protected Moses because, you know, Moses was going to die when he was a baby. But his mama put him in that basket, put him on down the river, and, you know, his sister Miriam's watching. Pharaoh's daughter comes up, and she sees him, and, you know, Miriam talks the daughter into letting the real mama take care of him. And, you know, Moses was able to lead the children of Israel because God protected him. You know, God protected the children of Israel as they were walking around for 40 years. They got manna coming, but, you know, I know it's hot out there in the desert. He put a cloud over them so they wouldn't get sunburned. He gave them a fire by night so they wouldn't get cold because, you know, in the desert it gets cold when the sun goes down. He just took care of them. You know, he took care of Joseph. Joseph's brothers, they were jealous of him. He had the coat of many colors. His dad loved him the most. They knew it. And he came out to get him to tell him that it was time to come home. And they put him in the pit. They sold him. And, you know, the Lord looked at him, looked out for him the whole time because he ended up in the prison. And, you know, in the prison, he was able to interpret the dreams of the baker and the butler, I believe it was. And after he did that, you know, he was in Potiphar's house. He became king, or he became second in command. And, you know, then he was able to save all the people because he foresaw the drought coming, and he was able to send the provisions back to his family. It's all because of God's protection. Then I thought about, you know, we got Daniel in the lion's den. You know, I would have hated to have been there. I'm sure that I would not have been praying like Daniel. I would not have been strong enough in my faith to do that if they was going to throw me into the lion's den. But Daniel didn't. You know, he just took a nap while he was in there. He wasn't scared. He knew God was going to protect him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the same way. They still played the music. They still prayed when the music was playing. They didn't care. They prayed. They ended up in the furnace. You know what? God protected them. You know, the fourth man showed up like he said he would. He did for them. You know, it's just what God does. He protects us. His protection is just, it's there for us if we'll just let him protect us. If we'll let him be God in our lives. You know, David was protected from Goliath. There's no way that little scrawny kid could have beat that big old giant. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and in his wings shalt thou trust. His shield, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day." Next, you know what? He's the great physician. We saw in the Bible how he made old people have babies. You know, Sarah was past the childbearing age. They had been promised probably 15, 20 years earlier that she was going to have a baby. You know, Abraham was promised by God that he was going to be the father of many nations, that he wouldn't even be able to go outside and count the stars, or the stars could not number what his blessings was going to be. Sarah had a baby. God had to cause that. You know, in the New Testament, we see the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, how they're old. The Bible says that Zacharias said, "How is this going to be, Lord? I'm old and my wife's well stricken in age." You know how it happened. It was God. And we know that when Elizabeth got into the same room as Mary, that the baby just jumped for joy. John the Baptist just jumped for joy. That's Jesus. That's the Lord that caused that woman to be able to have that baby. We also see that he not only helps us deliver babies, he's a healer. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she was sick for 12 years. The Bible said that she had sought doctor after doctor after doctor. She couldn't find no help. But you know what? She heard Jesus from pass by. She came walking by. She touched him in his garment. The Bible says immediately she was healed. You know, he's still the healer. And, you know, I know a lot of people through here in this building has been through a lot of stuff. And, you know, we're only here because God's touched us, you know, through his infinite power. You know, the Bible says by his stripes we are healed. We also see that, you know what? He'll cast out demons. We have the legion. We have in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, I think it's about Matthew chapter 28. He's just full of demons. And you know what? Jesus, he says, the demons are talking to Jesus. They say, oh, just cast us into the pigs, the swine. You know what happens? Jesus called them out. They went to the swines, and the swine killed themselves. Even animals don't want to have demons in them. I mean, you'd think people would be even better. And finally, you know what? He created a perfect heaven for us. You know, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what? He's preparing our mansions now. I don't think they're quite ready, or I think more will be called out. You know, and that place is going to be a great place. It's going to have walls of jasper, gates of pearl, a street of gold. And you know what God's going to do for us when we get there? In Revelation 21, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, I believe that, you know, he's going to wipe away our tears, because you know what? Right before this, the previous chapter or so, you know, it talks about the great white throne of judgment, and how those who are not in the Lamb's Book of Life, they don't be cast into hell. You know, that's going to hurt when we're sitting there. You know, I don't know if it's going to look like an arena. I can only think of an arena, because that's the only thing that I have a reference to. You know, we don't be sitting there and watching loved ones be cast into hell, you know, whether it's cousins or aunts or uncles or parents or children. And you know what? That's going to hurt to know that they're forever from us. You know, we won't be able to help them then. You know, as Skip said earlier, you know, we ought to be out onto the community telling people about Jesus, because he's coming. You know, but after that, you know, there's going to be no more death. We're not going to have to say goodbye. You're not going to be picking up any more dead bodies. We're not going to have to go to the hospital to see sick loved ones. All pains don't be gone. We're not going to have to worry about people being addicted to drugs anymore. We're not going to have to worry about the crazy people out there, you know, the kidnappers, all these mean and just ungodly things. We're not going to have to worry about, because heaven is just going to be perfect, and it's going to be worth it all. You know, we just got to make it. We just got to hold on. So, you know, I want to encourage you tonight with those things. You know, we can be thankful tonight, because God did all that for us. You know, as that little kid said, my God does all that. And you know, these people who have these other religions, I don't know how to keep up with it. I guess they got a little in their little flip book or something, a notebook that says, well, I need protection, I need to call on this God. I need healing, I need to call on this God. I need this, or I need money, or I need, or whatever it is I need. But you know, we don't have to do that, because the Bible says that he's our all in all. He is all we need. You know, if you'll stand.